This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
It's my pleasure to welcome you to the Clark Howard Show, where it's all about you learning ways to save more of what you make or keep more of what you make. Clark.com is our main website, ClarkDeals.com, where you find ways to save on every purchase. Coming up in just a few minutes, I want to tell you in today's Clarkrageous Moment about a new way criminals are trying to create mischief in your life. Something you have to be aware of that never would have occurred to me if it weren't for all these technology blogs that educate me on stuff that I got to read sometimes two or three times to really get the gist of it, tell you the truth. And coming up later, more and more offers in the marketplace for you to pay subscriptions to have quick, same-day free delivery. I want to tell you what's out there. So, banking is something that makes people less angry than it used to. That is the most positive thing I can say about people's relationships with banks. Banks have been something that people historically have loved to hate. And there's a lot of lack of trust in banks because of all the shenanigans of the banking scandals of last decade and all the economic hardship the banking scandals caused for so many Americans. And banks do some things that specifically create a lack of trust and alienation in customers. One of the things is an obsession with gotchas, with junk fees, with ways to charge you big money. You know, the banks love to charge you for your checking accounts. And today, the average amount that somebody pays to have a checking account is now over $160 a year. Even when you have what they tell you is free checking, by the time you're done, that's about the fees you'll end up having paid. Well, one of the bigger banks in the country, not one of the giants, but one of the bigger ones, is actually a bank that's owned by Discover Card called Discover Bank. And they made a decision, I'm sure based on focus groups, that they were going to eliminate every junk fee that existed. So there's no fees of any kind on their checking account, money market account, savings accounts. Everything is fee-free. No monthly maintenance. Nothing for ordering checks. If anybody uses checks, you'll use your debit card. No fee for replacing it. NSF, you know, that's the bounce check charges that the banks salivate over being able to rip you off with. Bounce check costs a bank a few pennies, but they charge you typically like $36. Discover Bank is doing away with that. They're not having minimum balance fees. If you have to stop payment on a check, no fees for that. I mean, just no fees. And this is coming about because of the alternatives to the banks, these app-based, you can't call them banks. I don't know what you call them. App-based financial institutions. Let's just use that term. There's got to be a more pithy way to say it. That are non-banks doing bank kind of stuff that play it straight, play it simple, and don't junk fee you to death. You know, I think about all the image ads that the banks spend so much of our money on to try to convince us that they're good people. Why, if you just offered people an honest, straight-up deal instead of looking for a way to get them, I think people would be happier with you and trust you more. And so Discover, good for you, doing away with all the junk fees. And what's funny is that I'm as guilty as anybody else talking about how people in their 20s and 30s don't trust and don't like the way traditional banks have done business. Well, this person from Discover said, well, our research says nobody likes the way traditional banks do business. It's not just people who are in their 20s and 30s. I wonder if that's true, that doesn't matter what age you are, you don't like to get ripped off. I think that's logical and does make sense. Ken is with us on the Clark Howard Show. Hi, Ken.
Hi, Clark. How are you today?
Great. Thank you, Ken. You've got a really interesting question to ask me about, don't you?
Yes, Clark. I'm very pleased that you've helped bring lower-priced hearing aids to the Americas from Europe. And I work trying to help seniors find benefits that they earned, but they don't know that they can receive. But one of the problems I've discovered with seniors is they don't have dental care. Primarily, that was the expense they gave up. And so many of them need dentures, and yet dentures cost a lot. And the only discount denture clinic I can find for people is 100 miles away. What I wonder is if in all your travels and discovery of things, have you found a system where they use a laser measuring system to measure the inside of the mouth to get a perfect fit and not using the molds, and then use the 3D molding to create a set of dentures and do that at a much more reasonable price than we're having to pay now?
Well, you know, that is so close to happening in the U.S. It's like right on the edge. And this is the wildest thing. The prison system of the state of Texas has been at the leading edge of providing a huge number of older prisoners have very few teeth or no teeth. And the prison system could not afford to provide dentures to these older prisoners. So they're using 3D printed technology, and they're able to provide a mouthful of teeth for about $60.
Wow, that's wonderful.
And you think about dentures today, typically you're talking at least, you know, low four figures to get dentures, and to be able to do it, the cost being $60 a person, an inmate, is incredible. And so we're going to see pretty soon, because there are so many competing vendors that are selling these 3D printed denture systems to dental practices, we're going to see this become a mainstream part of dentistry. And then there'll be the high volume kind of clinics that open up with the 3D printed dentures.
That's going to be a tremendous help to people, because it's hurting their nutrition, hurting their health. You're pushing it. We'll hopefully get it sooner across the country.
Well, I don't know about that,
but there's a crying need for it.
But the stuff that is going on in medicine with 3D printing, I think about being able to make limbs for people, artificial limbs, where people face enormous cost. And the greatest problem is for children who grow so quickly that now with 3D printed limbs, limbs that were completely beyond the ability for a family to afford, now with the 3D printed limb, they can get one for almost no money at all. I mean, the things that are happening with 3D printing, and I think I talked recently about what's going on with various operations where parts can be made for a human 3D printed that are perfectly made for that individual, and they're more able to function with that 3D printed medical device that's printed for like no money than they can with an off-the-shelf device. So 3D printed dentures are something that we're talking about it now like it's almost like theoretical, but in 5 years, it will be totally common.
That's going to be a great boon to the health of seniors.
Now, it's not going to mean it's cheap everywhere. You got to know that.
Right.
There will be traditional dental practices that it will increase their efficiency and will improve the quality of fit for a patient, but it won't necessarily make it cheaper. And then there will be high volume, lower cost operations that will be there for people that price is the big barrier. And Ken, thank you for your interest and concern for an aging population. There are people of all different income levels who are aging, but the greatest problem are people who have very low incomes as they age. Doesn't mean their medical problems are any cheaper to solve. That's why technology that makes it cheaper to solve them is going to be so key. Kim is with us on the Clark Howard Show. Hi, Kim.
Hello, how are you?
Great, thank you, Kim. You are a longtime renter.
Yes, I am. I was divorced in 2016 and wanted to move closer to my place of business, so I found a little house to rent with my two daughters, and the landlord is selling it out from under everybody. So I asked for first right of refusal, and I have it. But
you are the best potential target buyer of anybody out there, because for someone selling a property, you never know how long it's going to take. You never know what price you're going to get. And if you have a tenant, it's much harder to sell a place while you have a tenant in the property. So they usually want you out. Then there's no income coming in while they're trying to get it sold. So potentially it's a win for you and a win for the landlord if you buy the place.
Yes. And the properties in my neighborhood are going quickly. It's a little community that's great schools, right to downtown Orlando. Winter Park, I have lake access. So they're selling still on the high end. And I did get pre-approved for a mortgage, but I also need to buy a car. So I have a car that's 15 years old. My daughter just turned 16, needs to drive. I have about $20,000 saved up for a down payment. My plan was to buy the car, myself a new car, give her mine, and save again for another 4 years for when they get out of school and buy a house somewhere else. But that's all shattered now. So I don't know what to do. But I did just have a client offer to give me $10,000 towards the down payment, and I could work that off as a barter for her.
Wow.
Yeah.
You got a lot of balls in the air here. You got a lot of things you're trying to figure out. All right. So if you only want to stay in the house, you said another 4 years?
I love the house. And if I have to buy it, I will definitely stay there until they finish college. And it's close to my business. I'm about 6 or 7 minutes away.
So. All right. What is your monthly payment going to be versus what you're paying in rent right now? How much?
It's going to be pretty close to the same. About $500 more would be the mortgage payment.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's within reach of being reasonable, except now you're going to be responsible for all the maintenance and repairs.
Yes. And it's never been touched since 1954.
So it means you're buying a project.
Yes. Yes.
Is it worth it to you?
Yeah, I went ahead and did the inspection, which I know you typically don't do that until afterwards. But knowing that I had lived there 4 years, and I just wanted to see if I even wanted to make an offer, and it's still doable. I have friends that are like family that are in the construction business that I think I could get some things done pretty affordable. The things that are pressing are it needs a new electrical, which they said is about $1,000 a panel. And the polybutylene or whatever on the plumbing that's outlawed.
Polybutylene pipe is a time bomb ticking.
Yes. So I would do those things quickly. And if I didn't have to put all that $20,000 down, I could put some of that to fix those two things.
Okay. So, but I'm worried that you may be putting yourself into some level of financial distress.
I agree.
Your payment would be more per month. You know, we don't have really any tax benefits anymore from buying real estate under the, I still call it the new tax law, but as the tax law works now. So you have to really want to do this for stability for your kids.
Right. I do not want to upgrade them.
Because this is a financial sacrifice on your part, because you're now taking on those projects and paying more per month.
Right.
You're making me nervous, to tell you the truth.
Me too.
I would really, really think through, and this is how I'd think through. I would go out, and you're only negotiating with yourself right now because you're thinking, this is where we are. We've been comfortable here. I could be here several more years. Go out and look at other properties for rent before you jump into this, because you're already talking about you need a car for your daughter. You got a 15-year-old car. You got a lot of things pulling on you. I want you to see if you can find a rental that you'd be happy with before you put yourself into a position where you take on this financial obligation that would be quite a bit more wheezing financially than where you are right now. Don't just say, hey, this is here, I gotta do it.
This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Most of you listening right now are probably multitasking. Yep, while you're listening, you're probably also driving, cleaning, exercising, or maybe even grocery shopping. But if you're not some kind of moving vehicle, there's something else you can be doing right now: getting an auto quote from Progressive Insurance. It's easy, and you could save money by doing it right from your phone. Drivers who save by switching to Progressive save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Discounts for having multiple vehicles on your policy, being a homeowner, and more. So, just like your favorite podcast, Progressive will be with you 24/7, 365 days a year, so you're protected no matter what. Multitask right now. Quote your car insurance at progressive.com to join over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
There's a new hot ripoff happening right now, a scam that appears on your electronic calendar, either a Google calendar or any other. Most people tend to use Google calendars. What happens is the crooks post an event to your calendar remotely that you had nothing to do with. You go to click on the details in it. It then downloads a virus into your life. You don't want that. You can change the settings, and we have the steps to do so at clark.com, so that you cannot have something appear on your calendar unless you have accepted that as an item to go on your calendar or added it yourself. This is important with whatever calendar you use. You want to know how to do that. Never click on the link in it. If it's an event that's not recognizable to you, delete it. Do not click on the link. Key to protect yourself from who knows what virus would come your way. Great to have you here on the Clark Howard Show, where it's about you learning ways to save more and spend less, and don't let anyone ever rip you off. Clark.com is our main website. ClarkDeals.com is where you go to save money each and every day. So we were talking about this in what we call our pre-show meeting, when we get together and talk about trends, what we've been talking about on the show and all that. And twice in the last 6 weeks, I've talked about new initiatives involved with quicker delivery or one-day delivery, as has been going on with Amazon and Walmart going back and forth with each other. And now today, I got to talk about the latest going on, and that is same-day delivery, which Target is now offering in return for paying an annual membership fee. You know, if you sign up with Amazon Prime, you pay $119 a year, and that gets you on most items, two-day delivery for Prime members, a more select list of items, one-day delivery. Well, Target owns the delivery service Shipt. And so if you pay for Shipt at $99 a year, you then become eligible for same-day delivery on a very, very large number of items that is available almost everywhere Target has stores in the country, where you can pay for this and get the same-day delivery. Because 2 days apparently wasn't quick enough. 1 day wasn't quick enough. Now, same day is what Target is saying is available. Now, how many items can you really get that quickly? Well, they say 65,000 you'll get in an hour. How are they ever going to live up to that delivery promise? I don't even think you should make a promise like that, that you're going to get something to somebody in an hour. That didn't work well for the pizza people, did it? When they said they'd deliver to you that quick. But anyway, this is obviously an ongoing war for market share with Amazon, Walmart, and Target. And so their latest salvo is $99 a year, or you can pay a per delivery charge, which I don't know why you'd ever want to do. It's like $10 and change. Walmart answered 2 days later with an unlimited grocery delivery service, because groceries are so important to Walmart, the nation's largest grocer. And so they're offering what's called Delivery Unlimited, and it's $98 a year. So they went $1 cheaper than Target, but Target's not geared towards groceries specifically. And so with it, you pay no delivery fee. So they will deliver to you in a delivery window that you choose when you want it, your groceries delivered, and it goes on. And I have found that my go-to, instead of paying for these subscription services, my go-to has been store pickup. I love the store pickup because you pay nothing for it, and you don't have to worry about whether an item is in stock or not. And you just order online for free store pickup. And the store pickup experience is getting better. I had something that I did store pickup at Walmart.com. And they send you a barcode telling you that the item, they send you something telling you it's ready. And when you're on the way to the store, you can click that you're on the way. And when you get to the store, your name is already on a board. You go over to that electronic board and you barcode in that lets them know you're there now. And the item, this item that I just picked up, I had in about, minute and a half. It's not as quick as when I go to an Amazon pickup facility where you get the barcode and you tell them that you're ready to pick up the item, and they tell you which it's kind of like a door you go to. It's kind of like a locker, which locker number to go to. You barcode your phone and then instantly the door opens and there's your item. And it's very impressive, but obviously the ability to be able to cut out any wait time, any bureaucratic delays, anything like that is going to be the key with instant pickup. And the advantage can be great in terms of speed or avoiding any kind of delivery charge that might exist otherwise. Erica's with us on the Clark Howard Show. Hi, Erica.
Hello. How are you?
Great. Thank you, Erica. How can I serve you?
Well, I was just wondering if you could clarify or take away all of the mystery about third-party booking sites for hotels specifically. Anecdotally, I've heard people have problems with them, and I'm going to be in Great Britain next year and wanted to look into that because the disparity or the difference in some of the rates is huge. But before I go to a third-party booking site, how safe is it really?
That is a fantastic question. There are a number of third-party hotel booking sites that, to me, are radioactive. you'll do a, you may go to something like TripAdvisor, and it'll shop a hotel for you. It'll show you the rating, and then you put in your dates when you're going, and it'll show you all these different booking sources. And inevitably, it seems, the cheapest one is one I've never heard of. And the only time we ever really hear complaints about booking hotels, it seems to be when people book with some UFO booking source. So if it's not a known and recognizable booking agency to you, don't use it. The other thing I've noticed that if you go and you Google a hotel by name, let's say a specific hotel in a specific city, and you Google it, the first several results that show up are fake results, and that there's some kind of, again, UFO booking service, not the hotel itself, or not the hotel reservation service for that hotel. So I know it sounds awfully lame to say, if you don't recognize the booking agency, don't use it. But I found that that works as a pretty good protection.
Okay, and what are the odds that you get to the hotel, and I'm not worried about them not having the reservation because I would call in advance and things like that, but finding out at the last minute, is it possible that you could be moved and not know that, or are you absolutely assured you're going to be in the hotel that you've selected?
What a wonderful question. You can book directly with a hotel's own reservation service. You could book at Marriott.com for a Marriott property. You could book at Hilton for a Hilton. You could book at Hyatt for a Hyatt, and you could still be what they call walked in the business. If they oversell a night and more people show up than they expect, you can still get walked. The best way to protect yourself from being walked is from any hotel is to check in early enough in the day. It's the people who arrive at a hotel late in the evening that are more likely to be walked with a with a totally valid reservation. So there's nothing that about booking with a third-party site or booking with the hotel's own reservation service, there's nothing about that that is a protection from being walked by a hotel you have a perfectly valid booking with.
Excellent. Good advice. I appreciate it. I've used third-party bookings domestically, but never internationally, so maybe this will make me brave and do it again.
All right. So I got a question for you. Have you heard me talk about strategy for booking hotel rooms?
I have, but you can refresh my memory.
All right. This is simple. When you know you're going to go somewhere, book a hotel room that is refundable up to a certain point before you arrive. Usually most of them are refundable up to 72 hours before you'd arrive.
Right.
And then the week you're going, you want to check again. And there's a trip that I'm taking later this week that when I originally booked a hotel, the rooms were more than twice as expensive as they are now. And by having a refundable rate and then later rebooking, I'm saving a ton of money.
Okay. I can do that. I don't do anything that's non-refundable anyway, just in the event something should change. But I will keep that in mind. And I do have some time to plan for it. So I will probably spend a lot of time researching this.
All right. Well, the key is time. And by time, I mean not how much time you look for a hotel initially, but that you remember to recheck availability and prices the week of travel. Because that's when hotels realize, oops, we're going to have so many rooms empty that night, and the prices start dropping so much, as long as they're going to be empty rooms. If there's some big event, then you're happy you already have the booking you have at the price you have it. Kendra's with us on the Clark Howard Show. Hi, Kendra.
Hi, Clark. How are you?
Great. Thank you, Kendra. How can I be of service to you?
Well, first, thank you for taking my call. I recently left an employer where I had a 401k, but I also had a Roth 401k. So I wanted to know, would I be able to roll that traditional 401k into a traditional IRA, and would I be able to roll the Roth 401k into my Roth IRA?
Yes and yes, but I wouldn't do the second.
Okay.
So the first one, where you have a traditional 401k, you can put it straight into your own IRA. So you'd be opening a new IRA for that, right?
I actually have an existing one.
Okay. The reason historically you don't want to commingle funds from 401ks into traditional IRAs or a Roth IRA is that it hurts some of your flexibility usually if later you wanted to take that money and put it into a new employer's 401k or Roth 401k.
Okay.
So it increases the hassle, and that instead of just having one traditional IRA and one Roth IRA, you end up with two of each.
Right. Okay.
But the advantage is that you then could migrate that money someday, because you might end up at an employer that has just such a great, wonderful 401k that you want the money to go from your IRA to their 401k.
Okay. Got it. So with my traditional one at my old employer, I shouldn't roll it into my existing IRA. So my traditional 401k, I should not roll it into my existing.
You can. It just means that you may be inhibited on moving the money later to another employer. That may not be important to you. And if it's not important to you, then just roll it straight into your traditional IRA, because it's better to have fewer accounts than more, because you add complexity into your life. But if you want the flexibility, then you take on the little bit of extra complexity.
Okay, great. That's very helpful. Thank you so much.
One thing I wanted to make sure you focus on, too, when you migrate the money to the IRAs, that you have low-cost IRAs, low-cost provider for your IRAs.
I do. I have one of the ones you recommend. So
one of my favorite children.
Yes, that's right.
All right. That's great. Well, good. And I hope that your next job opportunity is a great one for you.
Thanks so much.
Thanks. Have a great day. Mark is with us on the Clark Howard Show. And Mark, you got a question for me about your kids' 529 plan, their college savings plan. How you doing?
Hey, Clark. That's right. How are you?
Great. Thank you.
So you are the man. I started listening to you, and you told me to never, 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 not ever use a high-paid, either a bank or a full-commission broker to get a 529 plan. And
that is a never, 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 not ever rule. You quoted it back perfectly. You, 'cause 529 plans are so simple, there's no reason you should ever be with one that has high commissions and high costs. And if you do it through a broker or bank, you have both.
Sure. So unfortunately, I have already, so I did realize it's easy to do. I've done it with my third child now, but my first previous two kids, I did not know about your podcast. So now what do I do?
So it's really easy. You can move the money from the ultra high cost 529 plan you're in through the stockbroker, you can move it to one of the direct sold plans like you did for your youngest child. And they will help you if you contact whoever that company is. You can contact that plan and they'll walk you through all the paperwork and they'll move the money over from the high cost place and you'll have your two other kids in low cost plans.
So it's just a matter of sending an email to
You need to call them. You need to call. Who did you end up doing the third child's plan with?
The New York.
The New York 529 plan? So you can just call them and they'll tell you how to do it administratively, something they'll probably have.
Okay, so I'm calling them. I'm not calling the bank.
Oh, no. Don't call the high-cost people you're with. Call the New York plan that you want to be in, which is an ultra low cost, commission free 529 plan. Tell them you want to move the money from the high cost people to them, what do I need to sign? What do I need to do? And they'll help you with the paperwork, and you're allowed to move the money. If I remember right, you're allowed to move 529 plan money once each calendar year, and that's all you'll need to do. You'll be able to move it across and get it away from the high-cost folks.
Fantastic. You're the man. I appreciate all your help.
And if you don't mind, if you would, I only need to hear back from you if the process turns out to be more difficult and a royal pain. I need to know that from you. I need that feedback.
Sure.
Because it should be easy, but if it is terrible, I need to know that just for future knowledge.
Great.
And I'm so glad. Sure. And I'm so glad you're saving money for your kids' college. There was a report recently how few people know what a 529 plan is. All it is it's a tax-free way to save for a child's college. And depending on where you live, it may also come with a tax benefit up front. But these plans are not all created equal. Some of them are rotten, terrible, expensive. Any of them with a bank, any of them with a full commission stockbroker, run away from those. You're listening to The Clark Howard Show. Thanks for joining us today. The Clark Howard Show is produced by Kim Drobes, Joel Larsgaard, Deborah Reese, and Jim Ayers. And remember, 24 hours a day, we're there to serve you at Clark.com and ClarkDeals.com.